Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Justin Fields, he is big, he is fast, he's got a great arm, he's a great leader. It's hard to really find any weakness in what he did in college, and he was just a winner. I mean, the guy just went out and won a ton of games by being an incredible quarterback.
Kevin Fishbane.
What's the saying? If you have nine tight ends, do you even have one?
Talking Bears on 670 The Score.
There's so many names. We're just keep whoever it is of the day, first interview, second interview, and coach and general manager, and who's picking up whom at the airport, and where's Bill Polian, and Ernie, of course, his hairpiece. Here to sort it all out is Kevin Fishbane, who is on the Bears beat for The Athletic and is on Twitter at KFishbane. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So we're all kind of jumbled up here with simultaneous interview tracks and an understanding that they could have a decision on a coach that may not be the hiring of the coach until after the hiring of the general manager. Help us, Kevin. What are the known knowns right now about the process?
Well, Dan, we can make this easy if you want. We can just spend this whole segment talking about Ryan Poles and just assume he could be the guy.
Why?
Is that because he was picked up from the airport and that's what love is in Chicago?
Pretty much. You know, I mean, listen, if I go pick up my wife, I'm sitting in the car outside. I'm not going in a baggage claim the way George McCaskey did.
It's almost like he wanted to get videoed.
Well, I mean, my mind was going a lot of different places when I saw that little video. And George, not conspicuous at all, in that. But yeah, like, look, I think we know the GMs who are getting the second interviews, and we know Ryan Poles is in town today. The word is that Ryan Poles is kind of the leader in the clubhouse right now, and the Vikings were interested in him. And it could be between those two teams, whether it's the best fit for his opinion, best fit for their opinion. So right now it seems like he would be, I don't want to say it's his job if he wants it, because I've been told that. But, talking with different people this morning, everything is kind of leaning in that direction. Now, everything could change after his conversation with the team today. And we could be talking about Morocco Brown tomorrow or Elliot Wolf tomorrow. But it certainly seems like we're going to get to, this is going to come to a head of the next 24, 48 hours at GM. And it seems like they're back to the order of operations of getting that done. They have their GM, and then they could say, here are the head coaches we liked. Now, which ones do you like? And then let's kind of attack this together.
That seems awfully inefficient, yes. Doesn't it?
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Like, I generally have been fine with the due diligence in terms of casting the wide net and all these candidates in here. Like, I don't believe they could have just interviewed only GM candidates and not talked to a single head coach until they hired the GM and then talked to the head coach candidates, because this is all a competition. And fortunately for them, the only hire has been in New York, and that was a GM. So it's not like I don't think they're behind right now. I just want to make sure that if their goal is to allow the GM to truly be in charge of all football operations, then they got to pick that GM and let that general manager have carte blanche to pick whoever he wants as head coach, to build his personnel staff, and to go from there. So, they can kind of say, hey, here's some of the head coaches we've already talked to, and some of the guys we liked. Here are our notes if you're curious. But, like, that's what I think they should do at that point. But again, we've talked about this for however long I've been on the show with you guys. Conventional wisdom and the Chicago Bears front office are not a happy couple. So we can't go in that direction.
Is it possible that Ryan Poles is hired today then?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, he's here for a second interview. And if they like him, and it seems like, you know, all signs point to they do. And, you know, I think the report was that his Vikings interview would be tomorrow. And they could say, hey, let's just get this done now. You don't even have to go to Minnesota. It's even colder up there. So they could just, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, Dan, but when you ever have somebody in person for the second interview, like you could certainly go in that direction that we can know a GM by the end of the day.
What do you think they like about him?
Well, one thing that's interesting to me about Ryan Poles is that he's been in Kansas City for a long time, but he's worked with different general managers. And that's not an easy thing in this business because a lot of times GMs come in and start over with a whole new scouting staff. So when he first got there with Scott Pioli, you know, worked under John Dorsey. Now he works under Brett Veach. So those are three different GM philosophies. And all three of those guys came from different spots. So, you know, it's not like, you know, Ryan Pace was at New Orleans for the entire time. And I believe most of that, if not all, was with Mickey Loomis. So here's somebody who, same team, same organization, a winning organization. Organizations had a ton of success, obviously. So he's seen it, and he's seen it through the eyes of different general manager philosophies. So I kind of like that. You know, I'm not sure how much of the playing background is important here, but I imagine that it's just he knows what it takes to be a part of a franchise that can win and that can be a consistent playoff contender. Now, Ryan Poles is not the one who found Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the number one reason for a lot of their success, but you can go before him. You can talk about Andy Reid. You can talk about Alex Smith. You can talk about some of the guys who have been there during Poles' time there. He's just seen lots of different ways to build a team to be a consistent winner.
If you want to check out Kevin Fishbane on Twitch, you should. He's wearing his hat with an A on it for athletic, I presume. And he's got his whole setup behind him. You can tell he went to Northwestern, and he's a Cubs fan, and he likes bobbleheads. And I don't know exactly what everything else represents, but you can draw your own conclusions. And that is twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. So if, in fact, the other track is to be believed, and we start hearing about Caldwell, Eberflus, and now Dan Quinn and his name out there, is there any connection with Ryan Poles that would favor one of those names over any other?
Well, if we're going to play connect the dots here, Dan Quinn coached Matt Ryan, who was Ryan Poles' roommate in college. And, you know, that's the guy he blocked for when he was at Boston College. So Ryan Poles could certainly get a lot of information on Dan Quinn from his buddy Matt Ryan. So that to me is the first. I mean, I don't know how strong that is in terms of hiring a guy to be a head coach, but he would have a pretty good source in terms of learning about what Quinn is like as a head coach. I haven't gone through, you know, I'm sure Ryan Poles has been with other people at Kansas City who have worked in other places, maybe with Caldwell, maybe with Eberflus. I haven't gone through the whole web. But that was the first thing I thought of with Dan Quinn, which is kind of an interesting one. It's kind of the easy connection there. So, which is maybe that's why the Dan Quinn name is picking up steam. I kind of thought that Quinn would be the guy in Denver. But yeah, I mean, I think Bears fans have to consider that possibility pretty seriously, that he would be an option, certainly if Ryan Poles is the GM.
I have feelings just because of how fantastically poorly his coached teams when he was the head coach just imploded, whether it was at the end of games like we saw after their 0-5 start to the season, or the 28-3, for example. I don't question his acumen of assistant coaches and his hiring perhaps of everybody except DC, but there's a consistent flaw there that worries me a little bit. Here we are living and dying on every play in the playoffs and saying, like, if there's an incomplete pass, you don't want Brian Daboll. If there's a bad blitz call, you don't want Todd Bowles. But there is a pattern there with Quinn that gives me a little bit of concern, even though he is so well liked.
Yeah, that's fair, Leila. And I think the only, you know, if you're gonna try to spin that, you hope that, okay, second time around. Right. You know, he's, you know, the idea, and I think that'd be a question for him at any head coach press conference that he does, whoever hires him, is what have you learned? You know, what's going to be different this time around from some of the mistakes that happened when he was in Atlanta? And look, we were watching a game on Sunday night We all know that for a long time, Andy Reid was not known for his clock management. I mean, that was kind of a punchline around the league, and certainly that has changed over the years with him. And again, I don't want to necessarily compare Quinn to one of the best coaches in the game, but the idea that if you're going to hope for something, you hope that because he's had that experience and he's seen the failures that happened in Atlanta, that there are things that he can correct. Now, it's easier said than done. We just lived through 3 years of a head coach that didn't seem to necessarily learn from some of the failures he made, and we've seen that all around sports, where guys get ingrained in certain things and they just aren't able to fix it. But if you're looking for something, maybe that's it. And the other thing, too, about someone like Dan Quinn, someone I was talking to yesterday about Quinn was telling me, you know, he's the type of guy that you can feel confident is going to build a good staff. And that's so important for any of these head coach candidates. And that was something this person mentioned to me specifically about Quinn, is that they feel like he's going to bring in good coordinators just because of his connections around the league. He's been in the NFL since 2001. And just from his time in Atlanta, maybe from his time in Dallas, someone that just, and it's obvious, right? Any head coach, they know they have to put together a good staff, hire good coordinators, but maybe someone like Dan Quinn, who's done it before, maybe even Jim Caldwell, I put him in that category too, as someone that just would know the right way to compose your staff from coordinators on down.
I would love to know the answers to some of the questions that I hope they're asking, and I guess I would presume that they're asking about how a defensive coach, and I'm using Quinn here as just sort of the proxy for this, because that's just the name that we have, but whether it's Brian Flores or somebody else, to say, do you have a preferred offensive philosophy that you think applies to Justin Fields? And if that's the case, what does that do to the way you assemble your staff when you are outsourcing a side of the ball? And I don't think it's inherently good or bad. I'm not judging the idea of it, but the idea of it being unified when it comes to your roster. When it comes to, you know how they say, like a team that runs a 3-4, because there's more linebackers, you might be better off on special teams, because your extra guys on the roster might be more mobile than a team that runs a 4-3 when you've got bigger, slower guys. You know, little things like this start to matter around the edges, and after people start getting hurt in the middle of a year, that roster construction of how the vision of putting that together when you're dealing with these bifurcated tracks is a huge question in my mind.
Yeah, and it has to be the question when you're bringing a defensive head coach in the year 2022, because you know the thing that we've seen so often is if an offensive coordinator in that situation does a really good job at the quarterback, he's gone.
Yes.
And then you have to continue to recycle that. You know, look, Lovie Smith was a defensive coach, and we all knew he had what his offensive philosophy was. You know, John Fox, same way. You know, you can certainly disagree about what those offensive philosophies were, but it's important to have that, even if you're a defensive guy. And I think, again, I don't want to say connecting dots here, because I'm kind of grasping for things. Let's use another cliche. I'm grasping for straws here with Dan Quinn, who's the example of the day. He was in Seattle with Russell Wilson. Like, he saw the way that offense flourished. And, you know, I'm not saying Justin Fields is Russell Wilson, but certainly not a huge stretch to make some comparisons. It's a potential ceiling for the guy. So maybe he can pull from that and say, I saw what Seattle did with Russell Wilson early in his career. You can look at what at Atlanta, you know, Matt Ryan with Dak Prescott this year in Dallas, some of the things Kellen Moore was doing. So you would like to think that a coach like Dan Quinn is going to pull from those different things, bring in an offensive coordinator who's and their visions align. Because we also saw that, we've seen that in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Where Mike Zimmer was bringing offensive coordinators they wanted to do one thing and he wanted something else for his team, and they had to keep recycling guys. You don't want to go through that in any direction. So, yeah, Dan, I think that's some very important questions for
Lovie
him to
Smith
ask.
Did it. Lovie, yeah. Smith couldn't. Nobody wanted to come here until Mike Martz, like, okay, fine. And they ended up doing okay, almost against what they thought was going to happen. We've seen it firsthand here, the difficulty of getting that match right.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, that's going to be, if it's Quinn, if it's Eberflus, if it's Flores, that's the first question. Who's your offensive coordinator? Who's going to be calling plays and in charge of developing Justin Fields? It's going to be the most important hire for the head coach. It's more important than any other hire after GM and head coach if it's a defensive guy. And, you know, and look, if they hired an offensive guy, we'd be wanting to know who the defensive coordinator is and what that philosophy is going to be. But this is so important. Like, you have to get that right, because then you're just going to get stuck, as we said, in this cycle and that's going to hurt Justin Fields. And then you're kind of starting over again at quarterback, which is what's been, you know, the Bears' endless problem for so many decades.
as you've seen this list get whittled down, what are some of impressions of maybe there's a pattern you're seeing emerge, or at least some sort of a person's stamp on this? I think we all know at this point Bill Pullian's running things, so it's just a matter of his preference, I think.
Yeah, I think you're on that, Leila. I from what I've heard, it's, you know, it's Bill Pullian's show, and you can have whatever opinion you want on that, but he's pretty much, and you know, the irony too is we're probably not going to be allowed to talk to him about it, and he's not necessarily held accountable. He's not going to be part of the organization after this, but that's just the way these things go. So yeah, I think my takeaway is it's been a search that has not been pigeonholed, right? If you look at, like, if we're going to assume Eberflus, Quinn, and Caldwell are three finalists, quote unquote, right? Like, those are three completely different coaches in terms of experience, in terms of style, in terms of what they want to do. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's, you know, as opposed to the last time when it was, you know, we got to find that next Sean McVay, right? So I liked it, the fact that it seems a little bit more flexible. But to me, as I said earlier, it comes down to the GM. Like, the GM should make this hire. Because unless you're in a situation where some head coach just blows you away and you want that head coach to have a certain role in personnel, you know, and that guy would have been Jim Harbaugh, right? Like, that's the guy that would have been the type of head coach you hire first, and then you go from there. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Or Sean Payton or Pete Carroll, one of those guys. So now it's like, all right, you have these different options for head coach. That's nice, but it's got to be whoever the GM. He's got to really be allowed to take charge, allowed to have that opportunity to really make his stamp on this, because this is going to be the most important hire we make. We saw what happened, you know, when a GM picks a head coach who ends up not being the head coach, the right head coach a few years later. You're starting all over.
Would it be possible to have more than one choice? And I'm just thinking about ranges of possibilities here. That, let's just say they hired Dan Quinn. Could they get Jim Caldwell to be assistant head coach and offensive coordinator? I mean, is there a way to get everything you want?
I think so. I think that's a great idea, Dan. You know, that pairing, because you know, it's not like some of the other guys. It's not like you can hire Dan Quinn, who's going to, you know, snatch Nathaniel Hackett from Green Bay. Like, he's got the job. Caldwell is clearly wants to get back in the league. So I think that's something that they should consider. You could even look at that at the personnel level.
That's what I mean.
Right? Like, you know, is if you're going to hire, you know, we'll stick with the Ryan Poles, because he's, again, the name of the day. If he's going to be your GM, can he get one of these other guys a promotion from where they are now and give them some kind of high role? You know, because he's going to, that's the other important hires for the GM, is going to be the directors of player personnel, director of college scouting.
See, I'd start in the other direction. See, for me, Ryan Poles is the latter and not the former. When you tell me that it's Kwezi Adofo-Mensah or Omar Khan, who has much more of an executive resume, an executive experience, instead of a scout's experience, then you have the next guy be your scout. And if he wants to not be in the building, and if he wants to be, I got to see the player, I got to go find players, I got to hit the road, I got my places I got to be, that's fine. Get them both. Get them all. Get Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that plan. You know, I like the idea of giving, because I also think, and my colleague John Greenberg wrote this, is the idea of giving your GM a VP title to really make it clear that that guy is overseeing everything. You know, have him have, you know, or just be president. If you're president of football opera, that should be the title. So he's in line with Ted Phillips. So I think that would be intriguing. You know, what the Bears have done over the years is they've made the scout GM, whether it was Phil Emery or Ryan Pace, the you know, de facto president of football operations, and then the person below them has been the salary cap guy. For Ryan Pace, that was Joey Lane. For so many years, it was Cliff Stein, who's still in the organization. So it just depends on, I guess, what their confidence level is in whoever they pick in GM to be able to kind of oversee things. And what, you know, because some of these guys are not going to want to, like, someone like Ryan Poles probably wants to be the GM. He wants to be the boss. So that could be an interesting way. I think if they're going to do that, they'd probably have to hire Omar Khan first and then go down from there if he's going to be your president of football operations, which, again, I think would be a perfectly fine plan and maybe something this team has needed over the years.
He is one of the names that we seem to hear the most of is Omar Khan, especially after yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubting a guy who's been a part of success, right? I mean, and that, like, that's, you know, I always joke the Bears – and the Steelers, like the McCaskies and the Rooneys, like, you know, there's not as many similarities, I think, as the McCaskies would like to imagine between those two families and those two franchises.
Wins.
And what they've done.
Just yeah. wins and losses would indicate just that.
Rings.
Yeah, a couple Lombardi Trophy differences in quarterback success and head coach stability. But other than that, they got everything. They're just the same. Family owns a team. But yeah, I think you look at Omar Khan, you look at what he's been a part of, you look at his experience level in different parts of the building and what he could bring. Like, yeah, I think with him, the question over the years has been what's going to get him to leave Pittsburgh. Maybe this is the opportunity if he's not going to be next in line there to be GM or next in line, at least for a promotion, you know, could offering him that spot. But the thing with him, and this is going to be the question that's probably not going to get an answer. Let's say Omar Khan wants this job. He wants to be president of football operations. Are the Bears willing to give him that title, give him the money that comes with that, and really move forward and just make it George McCaskey's here, the chairman, but really it's Omar Khan's show or whoever that person is, and there's no Ted Phillips involved in this. He doesn't, you know, is that truly what it's going to be? Because whoever's coming through there is going to have to ask a lot of questions about this hierarchy and the power dynamic to make sure that they've given confidence that they really are going to be in charge of football.
I'd love it. I think that would be a step forward. Just that procedural move, not even knowing how it would all end up, I would be pleased with that as an understanding of something that could change for the better.
Yeah, it would be a change. It would be an improvement. I wonder too, Dan, again, if they really love Ryan Poles and they say, you're going to be our GM, you're all you have to do is report to George McCaskey and you build your personnel staff and you hire the head coach, you go from there. Like, would that still work? You know, because again, they said that the GM's is not going to report Ted Phillips anymore. And, you know, we talked to a lot of people who thought that was just the strangest setup. That they had that. So, you know, maybe that's not as good as having the president and then the GM, like we've seen, you mentioned the Bulls, we've seen the Cubs have that successfully. So I still like that plan too, Dan, that original plan, but I do wonder if it still is going to be an improvement taking out that extra layer to have that guy. Because the other thing too, could you imagine if like Ryan Poles wants to sign somebody or draft somebody and he goes to George, what's George McCaskey going to say? He's already told us he's not a football evaluator.
Well, he is a chauffeur, apparently. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah, he's an Uber driver, apparently.
I bet he had really good jokes about the weather. I could peg George as having kind of some good little one-liners about how cold it was.
If you don't like the weather, then wait 5 minutes.
You know what they say around here, Ryan, right? It's one of those.
Okay. Yeah. They say it everywhere.
Actually,
except San Diego.
It'll be awesome is if George said, hey, Ryan, I'll tell you what nobody's talking about. The McCaskies.
I still think he wanted to be seen. I still think that was a bit.
Hey, you know, it's. I think it was very courteous of him.
Yeah. Next time, wear Staley's head. Then we'll know. That'll be the tell. Kevin Fishbane, thank you, sir.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. Next up, Brad Biggs was on earlier, and he did a deeper dive on the potential of Dan Quinn getting another shot as a head coach with these Chicago Bears, and we'll bring you what he said about it next on The Score.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Could be any time, frankly. We don't know exactly when it's going to be with a number of people who have been in the building at Halas Hall, who have been in George's Honda Accord on the way there or on the way back. Or was it true that Ryan Pace, who had to take like a hotel shuttle?
Yeah, that's what Brad Biggs was saying this morning.
Okay.
Was that Ryan Pace had to take a hotel shuttle to Halas Hall. This is...
What's that?
So I remember coming to Chicago for like a field trip when it was the late 90s, and everywhere I looked, there were limousines. Everywhere. Like, Windy City Limo is famous. Eminem guy, what's up? Like, that's just something that's ubiquitous here, or was. And so, to me, it's like, this is the place that used to have car service. Like, this was like one of the places to have car service. Like, why is this not a thing?
I understand being the everyman and just saying that that's how you being the, you know, the Warren Buffett idea. I get it. I
prove that to your fans. Don't prove it to the dude you're trying to hire and take you seriously.
And maybe it's real and that's just who George is and he doesn't put on airs and that's how he lives. I get that. But if you do want to send the message to a potential head of your football operation that this is a big time place worthy of the historical heritage in which you wrap yourself, maybe send a car. I don't know. Brad Biggs was on earlier today with Mully and Haw, and he's talking about the name that is continuing to surface, bubbling now near the top of the list of potential coaches, and that is current Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn.
I wouldn't necessarily call Quinn, I don't know that I'd call him a finalist because I think that we just got to see what they're going to do for the GM. But he's getting a second interview with the Bears. And Dan Quinn, you talk to people who have worked with him around the league, and you get just glowing reports back. First of all, players love this guy. Personnel people love working with him. I mean, he's just the kind of – he can walk into a room – and make everybody feel a little bit better about themselves. And when you've got players that love you, that's giving you a shot. Certainly did really nice work in Dallas this year after sitting out. And, the post-Super Bowl era in Atlanta didn't go well for him, but I'm sure he's learned from that experience, right? He'd get tired in Atlanta in 2015, he goes 8-8, 11-5, 10-6, and then couldn't really keep the thing on the rails after that. It was 7-9, 7-9, then he's fired after an 0-5 start. But yeah, I think he's a hot candidate right now. I was texting with someone that's worked with him before, referred to Dan Quinn as a rock star. So I would imagine he will get a job. It's certainly possible he'd have his pick of opportunities. He's a high energy guy. I don't know what a list of his potential staff hires looks like, but his experience in the league, he's connected, might allow him to put together one of the more impressive coaching staffs from the get-go. And again, I go back to, he's the kind of guy players will work hard for.
Okay, it's a football-y, coachy, super coachy coach, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But is he the kind of visionary you want? Is he the kind of leader you want? Just because other coaches and people around the game like him, I mean, it's better than not liking him, I guess. But I don't know where it necessarily connects to being the guy who's right for the Bears right now. I don't know.
He talks about putting together a staff, and this came across the internets a couple days ago, and it was the Atlanta Falcons 2016 coaching staff when Dan Quinn was the head coach.
Okay.
Assistant head coach, Raheem Morris, not bad. Assistant to the head coach, Steve Scarnaccia. Offensive coordinator, one Kyle Shanahan. Quarterbacks coach, Matt LaFleur. Running backs coach, Bobby Turner. Tight ends, Wade Hardman. Offensive line, Chris Morgan. Assistant offensive line, Keith Carter, who's now at Tennessee. Special teams coordinator, Keith Armstrong.
Former Bears special teams coordinator.
Now Tampa Bay. Assistant special teams, Eric Silovich. So just right there, and we did not mention the defensive side. That is pretty impressive. That is a coaching tree. And a successful one at that right now. So you've got to appreciate the personnel detail there. The understanding of personnel. And he has had a bit of a bounce back in Dallas, but once again, there's just a persistent pattern there with his teams that is difficult to shake. And you could also argue that the Cowboys' last performance is part of it.
Remind me, after Shanahan left, that same organization had Steve Sarkisian come in as the offensive coordinator, right?
And that was a huge problem too.
So it undermined everything. Like, if all of everything we're saying now is not wrong, and nothing you're saying is false about his ability, but it just shows you how tenuous and how important an offensive coordinator is.
And defensive, thusly.
How quickly things fell apart when you had that guy who was just the wrong guy for your team at that time running a side of the ball. And people, if I remember, people identified it pretty quickly. And I don't know if that's Matt Ryan grumbling behind the scenes or whatever it is. But
everyone, it was. Like, there was an established disconnect with Matt Ryan and Sarkisian.
They knew what wasn't working. And if he's the same guy who made that hire, that's another question for him. What did you learn from that obvious mistake?
And there's, I know I cape a lot for Todd Bowles because I feel like the Jets shouldn't really count as an example of your head coaching. That's so dysfunctional. And then we saw Brian Gase replace him. So,
Adam Gase.
Yeah, Adam Gase. Sorry. Too many names floating around the internet. So we saw Adam Gase, and I always think of the eyes press conference. We saw him replace Todd Bowles, but to me, that shouldn't be Bowles' only head coaching stint in the league. He's done too much good. Even if you're living and dying off of one play and it's the blitz cover zero, it's pretty to see why he wanted to run that play. And we heard there were issues with execution once it was actually called, which I also questioned because, hello, you're the defending Super Bowl champions at home. That's not the point. The point is, if we're going to be that forgiving of people, then why aren't we that forgiving of assistants who were head coaches elsewhere?
I know.
On better teams, by the way.
If they hire Dan Quinn, the opening press conference is going to sound great. It's going to sound great.
So you're here for it then?
I am not.
Yeah, let's call it what it is.
I am not worried about that. That the initial sell, his initial understanding that he cuts the right figure. When they say he's a rock star, he can certainly take that stage and make you believe in what he wants. And that's why he probably interviews really well. But there's no perfect hire. I hope the process is right. And I hope when all is said and done, you can tell me why you needed Bill Polian in your building doing all this. And I hope if it's
George is busy picking up people.
Right.
Okay? Like, he can't do everything.
Just Bill tell George, flight's getting here in half an hour. Hey, get out there, George. I'm going. I'm trying. I will, Bill. Hold on a second here.
Whoa.
I can take a lot of stuff at this station, and I have.
That's a bridge too far.
But being essentially made a McCaskey without the benefit of being a McCaskey, I will not stand for that.
That's what nobody's talking about. Rick Camp, honorary McCaskey.
How do you feel about Honda Accords?
They're fine.
On the Midday Midway, I know how he and his I'm Fat podcast partner often feel about vegetables. I know how Al Michaels feels about vegetables. I'm going to give that particular side of the argument its most powerful fodder ever for the ongoing debate. Are vegetables good for you or not? Because I have a definitive moment when they're definitely not.
Oh, no. Everybody who contacted our show about this, you get your wish.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
We talk Bears, we talk Bulls, we talk Bears with Kevin Fishbane and get information on Dan Quinn's head coaching candidacy from Brad Biggs.
People love Dan Quinn.
Yeah, there's...
The text line's blowing up.
Okay.
All right, well, we got that going for us. To those of you who notified Dan and me about the truck full of monkeys. Yes, we will do this story. So, a truck full of monkeys had a crash in... That sounds funny. It sounds like a
video. Sounds like a monkey
game.
Was driving.
It sounds like a game. No, so a truck full of lab monkeys. 100
of them. Oh, great. The ones that are in the lab. Even better.
Yes, we're in an accident in Pennsylvania, in Danville. And one of the monkeys was on the loose. which is, I'm pretty sure, how some sort of movie starts. So people warned everyone, do
monkey
not...
Monkey fugitive. I want a hard target search of every hen house, outhouse.
Where's Grody?
In the tunnel, it just throws its poop at Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't care.
Take this sample. So residents were warned, don't approach the monkey if you see him, because he's an escaped lab monkey from this crash, and he might be in a lot of pain. That was my concern. I use he loosely here, obviously. I do not know what the monkey was exactly.
What lab?
That's a good question.
Dare I ask?
Glowing nuclear rod lab, like, obviously.
Like secret government lab they don't want to say, or is this kind of a...
Or Terry's house.
Or they, is it like testing cosmetics safety kind of thing? Right. Or is it come from... Is if it's from Terry's house, it could be the sick monkey, the sink monkey...
The Sikh monkey.
The Iranian space monkey might have come back and we wouldn't know.
The eaten monkey would be interesting. That's not moving around.
So... The quote was, anyone who sees or locates the monkey is asked not to approach, attempt to catch, or come in contact with the monkey. Please call 911 immediately. They more than several actually escaped after the collision. It was a pickup truck and a dump truck. And as of Saturday morning, only one remained unaccounted for, so the others have been found. And the truck was on its way to a lab, as we mentioned. The location of the lab and the type of research was not known, but these type of monkeys were often used in medical studies.
On the Twitch line, there is a Twitcher who says the escaped monkeys are texting the show promoting Dan Quinn's candidacy.
Oh.
That was what the lab was doing.
No, I'm pretty sure they were telling me to get new drive axles, and I was wrong because I was a woman talking about cars, and truth be told, I didn't need them. So the good news is they have been accounted for. All 100 have been accounted for, and they are in possession of whom they're supposed to be in possession. So the good news is all of the monkeys, I guess they survived, and not just survived, but are in the place they are supposed to be. But clearly, of course, a Bernstein show bit, so that is why it was sent to me, and I was like, Yahtzee.
Pole assassin.
Pole assassin's monkey was not part of the truck. Or the assassin's monkey would have been driving the truck.
Or they're only telling us that they've all been accounted for because, you know, it's really up to them, right?
Well, the Associated Press had some new information about this because I had a couple stories that I was drawing from to weave them together to tell a story. The shipment of monkeys was en route to a CDC-approved quarantine facility after arriving from New York's Kennedy Airport from Mauritius, an Indian Ocean nation. That's in the middle of the Indian Ocean there. You know, the one that kind of looks like a circle. The Atlanta-based CDC said the agency was providing technical assistance to State College in Pennsylvania. Oh, this sounds really unstable.
Yeah, it's connected to the Paterno family somewhere. I'm hinky about the whole thing. I don't like it.
Quarantining an island in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-mm.
Penn State.
Just wait.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
How are we on broccoli? Generally,
I
do too.
It's good. Meh. I appreciate it.
Meh,
meh,
meh.
Mike? They're more palatable green things,
such as
lime Skittles.
Also a vegetable.
Yes, it's green.
I like broccoli.
A woman has reminded fellow shoppers to double-check fresh produce after discovering a scorpion in her broccoli.
Scorpion?
It's Australia. It's New South Wales. Mm. But Chloe Mitchell was shocked. Shocked, I say, to find the live eight-legged creature living inside the vegetable that was purchased from an Aldi over the weekend. An Aldi spokesperson said it was...
No S.
Said it was Aldi's...
Just Aldi.
This wouldn't happen at the Jules. An Aldi spokesperson said it was, quote-unquote...
I don't know how it got there.
It was very unusual.
You don't say.
It better be. Mildly unusual doesn't cut it.
Yeah, sometimes this happens. The old scorpion in the broccoli tree.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like one out of every three is going to have a scorpion in it. It's scorpion broccoli. It says right there on the tag.
Aren't those two things kind of inconsistent? Don't scorpions like deserts and such? How is a broccoli related to a desert?
I don't know, but she washed the broccoli head. She said she was chopping it up into small pieces. She said, I put it in the steamer on the stove, and I turned around, and somebody was crawling on the chopping board. And she recognized immediately that it was a scorpion. Good. That's not a tough one. Passing the scorpion identification test, I think you can get that one. They said when they attempted to go near it, her husband came home, and they said the scorpion put its claws and tail up. They said it was very angry.
The scorpion was?
The scorpion was.
Yeah, because it was eating broccoli for a living.
I'd be mad, too.
Right. That's why it was mad, because it wasn't in, like, you know, French fries or something. But she said because they have a toddler and a dog, she didn't want anyone to be stung by it should they release the scorpion in the garden. So the Chloe's father-in-law, who is a horticulturalist, decapitated the scorpion and disposed of it in the garbage.
How did they decapitate it?
With a scorpion decapitation guillotine.
Tiny little guillotine.
They have a little ceremony. They bring it off with his head.
It's like a modified Pez dispenser.
Or it's Michael Jordan's cigar cutter.
Quick, get the tiny guillotine. Sounds Monty Python-y.
Yeah, but is it better or worse than one of those horrible spiders that shows up in the bananas every once in a
while?
Yeah,
that text was great. Oh, apparently some of the monkeys were euthanized. Ah, so they were accounted for but euthanized. Thank you for that info. I appreciate that, 630 and 847. Yeah, that sounds really scary, the spiders that come out of banana boxes. But at least spiders know what's up. They're like, oh, bananas are sweet. We'll hang out with them. The scorpion was like, I'll check out this broccoli.
This sucks. Right?
That's why you got to avoid it, because it's so mad from that. It's like, nope, I'm blaming on you.
About damn time. God. They get horrible gas. That's what's making the scorpion angry, right? He was all gas.
Have you ever seen a scorpion just like walking along, minding its own business?
No. I've never seen one in the wild, and I've been on, you know.
I saw one in an office building. Texas, obviously. Just obviously, I've seen tarantulas at the same office building. They're fast, tarantulas. Scorpions, not so much. They're just like, and you're like, for a while, you're like, oh, this is kind of like relaxing, watching this little scorpion walk. And then I'm like, crap, it's a scorpion.
I've eaten a scorpion. I just haven't seen one live in the wild. And I've been all over the Arizona desert and stuff, and in Mexico and all that, and I've seen snakes and things, never seen one.
Australia's things that want to kill you above replacement is very high.
78 or something.
Yeah, it's like a place I would love to go in theory, but in practice, yeah, I'm probably good.
Oh, I'd love to go to Australia. I mean, you don't have to go to all the places where the things can kill you. I mean, you're not swimming around with like great white sharks and box jellyfish and all those other things. Hey, box jellyfish. But Liam Hendricks ranked them for us, didn't he? Didn't we run down the list with Liam Hendricks of all the
things? He didn't rank them. He just like said whether or not you should really be scared.
Right, right. Like you have to find some you have to find them. Other things might find you. And also some things that we would find frightening, they don't. Like the huntsman spider.
Yeah.
That comes down and grabs a rat and leaves. They don't. That doesn't bother them. That just happens.
Could we use those, though? That's the question.
Sure.
Could we be using them?
Well, that's your thing. Of all things that eat, rats are welcome here, right?
Yeah, I just am a big food chain person. I just think the food chain is efficient.
Coyotes are doing great here.
Coyotes are doing well, too well here.
No, they're fine. They don't bother anybody.
By the way, did you see that that video about the dog, coyote dog, that they don't know what it is?
No.
What?
What is this?
You guys didn't see this? Oh, man.
No.
So this video came out. I forget where this was. Let me look, because I'm not the only one who's reported on this.
And no, 847 texter, I don't think the scorpions flatulate quite like the gorillas. Famously.
Also, Pennsylvania. They're like, if you look up Coyote Dog Pennsylvania, you can see it. And I can't tell what it is either. But it was pretty docile, according to the video I saw.
And here's fun with typos, where an 847 texter is explaining that he says he once shared a bathroom with a live scorpion in a porta potty at a music festival in Florida. Yes. But instead of live scorpion, the texter wrote, love scorpion.
I shared a porta potty with a love. They called me the love scorpion.
The love scorpion is a good name for something.
The scorpion of love. That's not a stinger.
We have to give this texter some credit because he said, "Here I am, broccoli like a hurricane."
Okay, and that'll do it. That'll do it for the midday midway.
Oh wait, but what about coyote dog? Coyote dog. Coyote.
What is it?
I don't know. That's the point. You have to look at it for yourself. I don't think he's a coyote because coyotes are like not docile.
Correct.
But it doesn't look like a dog.
Maybe it's a hybrid.
Coyote dog. Coyote.
A dog-o-dy?
Dog.
I don't know.
Coyote.
Let's talk Bulls next with Rob Schaefer. I mentioned before that I need to use him for therapy because I'm
did with Kevin Fishbane. And
I always
he gave
do with
some
Kevin
really
Fishbane.
Like,
that's my doctor.
He gave some really awkward eye expressions.
He doesn't know he's my doctor, but he's my doctor. And Rob Schaefer is going to help as well because I'm getting closer and closer to asking a fundamental question about the construction of these Bulls and what it may mean. But we'll get it all figured out next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.